There is one word on that, on page 187. This is for March 29th, and it says consternation. Consternation. And that means a sudden alarming feeling of dread, dismay, or anxiety that causes confusion. So instead of saying consternation, we're going to say dismay. Okay? So that's what it means. All righty? So are you ready? True joy. It says, but let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. It says we're to rejoice. And let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. That's Psalms 5:11. And this is now the reading. It says this. True joy is an emotion that many people will never experience. Most people discover joy through an event that pleases them or a circumstance that meets their need. When that circumstance gives way to everyday life, the joy inside subsides. But what brings joy to a person one day might bring dismay and concern the next. Joy that comes from the Lord as a result of our relationship with Him is joy that continually abides. Believers experience this steadfast joy, next page, and our reason for it never varies, alters, or subsides. As a born-again, Spirit-filled believer, I experience the joy of relationship with God again and again, over and over, day after day. I have a sense of well-being brought on by the knowledge that God would not leave me in difficult circumstances. Say amen. Amen. This is coupled with the truth that I am protected by God's power and grace. Amen. Amen. This brings joy unspeakable at any hour of every day. When we join other believers in a Holy Spirit atmosphere, such as a Spirit-dominated church service, this joy can bring me to tears, cause me to run and shout, and strengthen me to worship my Heavenly Father in spirit and in truth. Walking with Jesus introduces men to lifelong joy. Amen. Praise God. What a God we serve, people. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. If you would take your Bibles, we're going to make our declaration before Him. Say, this is life. I will honor it today, as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you would stretch forth your hands towards me as I ask you to pray for me as I try to preach and teach the Word of God this morning. Father, Lord, I just thank you for your people. Lord God, I thank you for their love towards you, Lord. And Father, I pray as I get up behind this sacred pulpit, Lord God, that you will anoint me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, let the preacher and the teacher, the gifts that you've given me, come out of me today, Lord God. And Lord God, we call upon the Holy Spirit that ministers to your people, that He would minister to us this morning as the Word of God goes forth. Father, we praise you, we love you, and we thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. We do want to welcome everyone here today, and we pray the Holy Spirit touches your heart and touches your life this morning. I want you to turn to John chapter 11, page 1870. We're going to kind of recap a little bit of last week and get on to other things. Mary Magdalene Martha and Lazarus were very good friends to Jesus. Like I said last week, very good friends to him. They were very close. Very close. But it says that one day that Lazarus died. And these three people were brothers and sisters, Mary Magdalene, Martha, and Lazarus. And they helped Jesus throughout his ministry because Jesus had touched them severely by his compassion and his love for them. And he loved Lazarus severely. We know the scripture says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, they felt the love of God through Jesus Christ. And it says in John 11:4, when Jesus heard that, talking about the death, or he was sick and dying, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Here we see Jesus had heard, because the sisters had sent word to Jesus, because he wasn't in Bethany, and he was ministering in another area or another town nearby. But they sent word to him saying, Lazarus is sick. Can you come and pray over him? What they wanted Jesus to do is drop everything, come over to their house, and pray for Lazarus that his sickness would be healed. But Jesus says this. He says, this sickness is not unto death. Now, the Greek text says this, and you can read it in your word. It says, he shall not fall prey to death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified. My Lord. So Jesus hears about Lazarus. He hears that he's sick and he dies. Jesus is in another town ministering to people, preaching the word of God. Lazarus dies. And they said, Lazarus, they have all the funeral arrangements, basically. And they put Lazarus in a tomb. And he's been there 4 days. Then Jesus, prompted by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit says, I need to get to Bethany where they are. And he's coming down to Bethany, and as he walks close to the city, which was not far, which was basically 2 or 3 miles from Jerusalem, which was like, Bethany was like a suburb of Jerusalem. It says that Martha meets Jesus. And you know, let's face it, when somebody passes away, it hurts the heart. It does. It does. Every one of us has been taken with that. We know how it is to be touched when somebody close dies. It hurts, even though we know they're saved, most of them. They know the Lord, and they're in heaven. It still hurts because you long to see the physical body, and it hurts. So Jesus knew where Mary and Martha were in their hurting on the inside. Not that they didn't trust Jesus and his word and what he can do. But as he's walking towards Bethany, Martha comes out and she says, Jesus, basically, it's good to see you, but he's dead. Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, he shall resurrect. And she looks at him and she says, I know he will in the last day. Talking about the rapture of the church, basically. Yes, he will resurrect in that day. But Jesus really wasn't talking about that in the last day. He was talking about when he would come, that he is the what? The resurrection and the life. And it says this. Verse 24, and Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Resurrection and life are not mere doctrines, but in reality a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. He is the resurrection and the life. What he was trying to do is get her mind off of the future, which he's glad that she's seeing it that way, okay? But to get on that right in front of you is the resurrection and the life. You see? We got to make sure that we keep our eyes upon the resurrection and the life, which is Jesus Christ, people. That we never get our eyes off on the problem. We never get our eyes on the problem. We never get our eyes upon people. But we keep our eyes as Christians upon the resurrection and the life continuously. Because it's Him that will get us through the difficult times. It's Him that will get us through the difficult times of life. It is Him that will push us forward and say, you can make it to the next day. My Lord, my Lord. My Lord. How sad it was, I heard about this, but as I looked at the newspaper last week to see a young lady and her son, which is her stepson, and I know some of you may kind of have some know about it, that they had been shot to death. Not by a criminal down the road, but by someone that was in their home. That was supposed to be the protector. That was supposed to protect them from physical harm. You know, that's what husbands do. They protect their wives. Physically. But you know what? God can do even better than that. He can protect better than a man can protect. But took their lives. And I was talking to someone that went to the funeral. And I said, I'm so sorry. I didn't even realize, just talking to the lady in the front, you know, that that's where she had gone to the funeral of the little boy. It was separate funerals. The mother, well, the stepmother and the little boy. And she was saying, yeah, how horrible it was. And I said, I wonder what happened to her. She said, I kind of know a little bit. And she said, you know, the father took a shotgun and shot both of them twice, from what I understood. That's what she told me. Once in the head and once in the chest area. And then killed himself. And I said, I wonder how the horror that it would have been to be the other one that wasn't shot first. Or the first, I mean, but the horror. You see, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. No matter what difficult times you go through and I go through, cannot compare to what Jesus went through either. To die for a people that could care less about him, most of them. To die for a people that mocked him and hated him, most of them. But he looks at Martha and he says, I'm the resurrection and the life. He's the resurrection and the life, my Lord. It says this, and you might want to, you know, sometimes we have to look beyond, you know, why Jesus came 4 days later. During the Jews believed that when a person died, and we know this is not truth, and I'll get on that. The Jewish tradition, the Jewish people believed that when a person dies, that their soul and their spirit lingers for 3 days. I mean, seriously. I mean, it's truth. They believed that it lingers for 3 days. The soul and the spirit. And it doesn't finally leave till about the fourth day when Because they would have thought, if Jesus came on the first day or the second day or the third day, that it wasn't Jesus that did it, that it was Lazarus' spirit that lingered, that came back into him. And no one gets the glory but God himself. And it shows that as he came back, he went to the tomb and he said, open up that tomb. And Mary and Martha say, man, he stinks severely. 4 days. He says, open it up. And he looked and he called unto that tomb, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus started to walk. And he was had all the cloths on and all that stuff. And that's okay. But you have to remember this. When Jesus speaks into your life, it does not matter what's holding you down. It has to let go. It has to let go. And let me tell you this, the starting process of the enemy letting go, and even ourselves of letting go of things in our hearts and lives that have hindered us, was when we got saved. When Jesus broke the chains of bondage and we received what he did, he came in and now abides in our hearts, and he's breaking the chains of bondage. Whatever it is, if it's alcohol, drugs, illegal stuff, lust, vain thinking, evil intentions, all that stuff. You see, God will start to break those things, the chains of bondages that hold people back. The heart is right, but everything else is wrong. You see what I'm saying? We repented of our sins and we asked God to forgive us. And he lives inside of us. He's there. Now the inside has to come out from the and hit every other part of our bodies, our lives, especially this thing right here, the mind. We're cleansed. We're 100% united with Christ. But God is trying to get everything lined up where it needs to be. And he takes off those tassels. He takes off the death clothes. And he rips those things off. And he brings clarity. He brings help. And he brings strength to the church. Because you see, we serve the God that is the resurrected Lord and Savior. He brings life to you. You don't walk around in death. We die. It says die to self. That means die to the selfish needs of us. We die to self. But we're serving a resurrected God that brings life to us. My Lord. That brings life to our families. Brings life to us. Day 4, Jesus walks in. My Lord. I am the resurrection and the life. I want you to turn to page 1874. John 12, starting at verse 9. The power of the Holy Spirit, let me tell you. You might say, Pastor, there are things in my heart and life that I am struggling with. Welcome aboard. Who isn't? So I was talking to somebody this morning. They were saying how, you know, they just seen pastors fall. And I said, I understand. It's a sad situation. It's sad. I don't fault one or the other. I fault the enemy. Because he's trying to destroy the church, people. He's trying to destroy the body of Christ. I say trying. But has he not read the end of the book? Huh? We know the end of the book. Buddy, we've won already. And we shall win this day forward. Amen. And God is moving in the hearts, giving dreams and visions to people. My God, my Lord, what a God we serve, people. Look at verse 9. It says, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, talking about Jesus at the home of Lazarus. And they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. Verse 10, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now look at this. Jesus walks and tells Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And he goes to the tomb and he raises Lazarus from the dead. Okay. He said, this sickness is not unto death, but really unto life. Not unto death. It says that the people come in. They're coming not only to see Jesus, but they're coming to see Lazarus. Let me tell you, when a miracle takes place, when God gives a vision to somebody or a dream to somebody and they share it forth, it sparks something in the people. It sparks things on them. It takes one spark to land in the right place in a forest, and a forest fire will come up. It takes one spark of the Spirit of God to work in your life, and you have the fire of the Holy Ghost working in you and through you. And these people, they were at the house, or at the house of Lazarus. And Lazarus is there. And also, if you read other texts, they even think that Simon the leper, which Jesus healed, was also there. We know Mary was there. Mary Magdalene was there. We know Martha was there. Lazarus, all these people. But these Jewish people, leaders, did not like that Lazarus was healed, because it was being brought news abroad throughout that area that Lazarus was dead in the tomb for 4 days. Not one, not two, not three, with the evil spirit or their soul and spirit lingering around, which we know is not truth. Because God says, when we die, we go straight to heaven. And it says this, that he healed Lazarus. My Lord, what a God we serve. They were in that house. The Jewish leaders were upset with Lazarus. Because let me tell you, raised from the dead, no one could shut his mouth. Raised from the dead, no one could shut Mary Magdalene's mouth. Raised from the dead, no one could shut Martha's mouth about her brother and what Jesus can do. And it raised up the people, saying, God is true, that Jesus is the Savior of the world. And the Jewish leaders did not like that. So they wanted to kill Lazarus, people. Can you imagine? They not only wanted to kill Jesus, but they wanted to kill Lazarus. Look at this. They said, verse 10, it says, but the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus to death. This death is that they were talking about was to kill one violently. They didn't want to just take him and just make it good and kill him. They wanted to violently kill Lazarus, get rid of him, my Lord, in cold blood. See, let me tell you this. When God does a mighty work in your heart and life, not everybody is excited. So what do? You either go to the side that's not excited and you go down with them, or you stay on the side where God is moving. See, not everybody's excited when the Spirit of God speaks to you or tells you something or shows you something or starts to get rid of the sin and evil in our hearts. Not everybody's excited about the Spirit of God moving in a church body. Not everybody's excited about that. And these Jewish leaders were not excited because Lazarus was preaching about Jesus. People were coming to see Lazarus too. He was like a celebrity because he was in the grave for 4 days and really should have been in heaven. But Jesus came through and brought resurrection power to him. When you feel dead and you're in a trap, let me tell you this, God will bring resurrected power where you need it. He will strengthen you. All he's asking is for us to call upon him. That's all. Call upon him. You need a healing? I tell people, call upon him daily. Come up and have people pray for you every Sunday. You might say, well, I don't want to go up this. They're going to say, well, he's coming up again for that, or she's coming up. It doesn't matter. It's what God sees and what God thinks. Maybe he's saying, I want to see a little bit of faith here. So why not go before him every time with the same problem so you can see God move upon that situation? God is looking for a little bit of faith like a mustard seed in the hearts and lives of his people. My Lord, they wanted to violently kill Lazarus. There was hate from these religious people. Don't worry about religious people. Don't worry about it. Some people will not like you just because they don't like you. Don't worry about it. Just so you keep your heart right with him. And you're able to stop and help them if they need help. That you're able to fix their flat when they're on the side of the road because you just do it. If you're a man. Well, some ladies could do it too. I mean, whatever. But you're able just keeping your heart right. That's all you got to worry about. Letting God move upon that. Letting God move. And look, the cry from Jerusalem, the cry from Bethany about Lazarus being healed. Because this happened about 2 months later from the time he was healed to that time in that house. So they had 2 months of them praising Jesus and speaking about Jesus, how Jesus healed Lazarus, how Jesus walked up and had them move that stone. My God. And he said, Lazarus, come forth. That was spoken of by people that would just look at what has been done. Yes, he's alive. He was dead. It's been documented. We have it at City Hall. Or wherever they keep those things. I don't know about City Hall, but wherever it's at, it's documented. Death is there. But yet he's alive again. Alive again. Now I want you to turn to John 12. Well, you can stay right there. We're going to go starting with verse 12. The triumphant entry. Because you know today is Palm Sunday. You know that, huh? Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is when we're going to be reading about when they took the palms of trees, they cut it down as Jesus came into Jerusalem. That was a week before he died for us. Verse 12, on the next day, much people who were come to the feast, that was talking about the feast of Passover, okay, or the feast of Tabernacles. It was a feast that they celebrated that God's provision, God's protection, his faithfulness, during those 40 years, remember the 40 years in the desert? That was a feast they set up to celebrate and thank God for all he had done. And they would worship God. Just worship him. That was the feast of worship unto God. My Lord. They took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna! Blessed is the King of Israel who comes in the name of the Lord. And Jesus, when he had found a young ass, sat thereon, as it is written, Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, the king comes sitting on an ass's coat. 16. These things understand not his disciples at the first. But when Jesus was glorified, then remember they that these things were written of him, and that they had done these things unto him. Verse 17. The people therefore who was with him when he called Lazarus out of the grave and raised him from the dead bear record. For this cause the people also meet him, for they heard that he had done this miracle. 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, "Perceive ye how you prevailed nothing? Behold, the world is gone after him." I want you to turn to Matthew 21, page 1687. 1687, to read the same basic account. A few little details are different as far as what's documented. Matthew 21, verse 1 to 9, page 1687, starting with verse 1. It says this, "And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, Go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught or anything unto you, you shall say, The Lord has need of them, and straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, Tell ye the daughter of Zion, Behold, your king comes unto you meek, sitting upon an ass and a colt, the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes." That means just a saddle of sort. "And they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and scattered them in the way. And the multitude that went before and followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." I want you to turn to page 1737, Mark chapter 11. 1737. See, there was a little difference, or more detail sometimes, you'd say. Starting with verse 1 of Mark 11. Page 1737. "And when they had come near to Jerusalem, unto Bethpage and Bethany, at the Mount of Olives, he sent forth two of his disciples and said unto them, Go your way into the village over against you. And as soon as you be entered into it, you shall find a colt tied whereon never man sat. Loose him and bring him. And if any man say unto you, Why do you need this? Say you that the Lord has need of him, and he will send him hither. Straightway he shall send them hither. 4. And they went their way and found the colt tied by the door without a place whereon two ways meet, and they loosed him. 5. And the certain of men of them who stood there said unto him, What are you doing, loosing the colt? And they said unto him, Even as Jesus had commanded, and they let them go. And they brought the colt to Jesus and cast their garments on him, and he sat upon him. And many spread their garments in the way, and others cut down branches off the trees and strawed them in the way. And they went, and they who went there and they who followed cried, saying, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed be the king of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And Jesus entered into Jerusalem and unto the temple. And when he had looked round about upon all things, and now the eventide was come, he went out unto Bethany with the 12. Here we see three examples of how Jesus went into Jerusalem. Some have more details than others. That's different writers. And that's good. God knew how to write this word, people. He knew how to do it. The word of God. And here we see these three examples of how they would go in. Jesus was going on a colt. Jesus told him exactly where to go and get that colt, that ass or the donkey and the colt. Where to go and get them and what Jesus said to do. And let me tell you this, when you say what Jesus says to say, it works out. Amen. Things don't work out when we say what man wants to say. You see, do you understand what I'm saying? When Jesus says something to you, when he says it, that's what he means. And that's what he wants us to do. And he wants to do it in detail the way he said to do it. Because he knows what's best. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The spirit wants to speak and give us advice, show us what to do. Man can only say whatever, but God can say things that will turn things around in an instant sometimes. It's an amazing thing. He got the donkey, whatever, brought it, and the colt, and the mama followed. And it says that Jesus got on the colt that had never been ridden. Jesus was about to do something that no man had ever done before for the whole world. And as Jesus was riding that donkey, they put a covering, which was like a saddle on it, or garments. He got on it, and the mother followed, and no one was on the mother, representing the Jewish people that rejected Christ. See, some received Jesus that's riding the colt, but some never received Jesus that represents the mother. Where are you in your relationship to Christ, people? Ever pursue Him. You may not understand everything, but ever pursue Him. Keep your heart right with Christ. When the Holy Spirit starts to convict you about something, when something starts to happen in this, and you know, you get with Christ and say, Lord, forgive me. Show me what to do. That's how you know you're a child of God. He convicts. He brings about, gives us wisdom, shows us what to do. Man, when a decision, I have to make a decision, I'll go to God first. I just say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I mean, logically, I could do this from what I'm thinking. But is this right? How to handle this, Lord? What to do? That should be our first inkling. And you know what? Wait a little while. Okay? Unless the Spirit of God tells you something, then you go and do at the right timing. He'll show you how to do it. See, we are children supposed to be led by the Spirit of what? Almighty God, the Holy Spirit. That we felt this morning, the Spirit of Almighty, He leads us and guides us in the right direction. And as that colt was coming into Jerusalem, all the people that were there for that feast of worship unto God, to thank Him for all that He did for them those 40 years, all the people that went to Lazarus' house to see that Lazarus was alive, that Jesus was there in Lazarus, they were all in Jerusalem. See, God knew how to noise abroad that the king is coming by healing Lazarus, getting the people so excited with praise and worship unto God. God in the flesh, Jesus Christ incarnate. God in the flesh. And as Jesus was riding that colt, it says the people were worshiping. I mean, not just, you know, hey, and then, you know, hey, look, we go, you know, I don't want people to think, well, you know, if you, I'm not really boisterous. You know, I mean, you know, some people are very boisterous, and that's okay. Some people are kind of quiet. But God says to worship Him. And we're to worship Him in spirit and in truth. It does tell us about lifting up holy hands in the sanctuary. It tells us about kneeling before Him. It tells us about what things we should and should not do. You know. And so as Jesus is coming in, the people are there because they're excited about what God, what Jesus has done to Lazarus too. excited about a miracle that has just happened 2 months before or so. They're excited about what God had done. And really, they're saying, Jesus is our God. The religious hierarchy is thinking something else. They hear of the praise and the worship and the honor, and they're looking down from their buildings. And they're seeing that people are taking their outer garments off, which they didn't do that in public. But they wanted to please God so much, Jesus. They wanted to honor Jesus so much that they were willing to lay down their lives for him. They took out their outer garments that they had and they would lay it down for him not to walk on the dirt that was there. They were saying, our king deserves gold streets like in heaven. Our king deserves more than dust and dirt on the ground. Even though it's the colt that had never been ridden, they still said he's the king. And then finally, they did all that they could do. And they start chopping leaves and stuff off of trees. They call it palms. It just says branches, but that's okay. They were doing whatever they could, and they started breaking them off and cutting and just putting it down as he would come, saying he's worthy to be praised. As one would lay down, the other one would worship and worship their God, the king. Now, in their aspect, they were looking that he was coming to take the throne. They didn't see it, that he was coming for death with the physical body. But yet he was going back to the throne next to the Father, because he had done what he should have done or did for us. And so, you know what? I want to tell you this. Palm Sunday is a great Sunday. My Lord, that we remember the worship and the honor of our God as they gave everything. Let this be a Sunday where you say, Lord, I don't want to hold back anything from you. I don't want to hold back anything that may be causing me hurt and pain. Sometimes it's just forgiving somebody. I was thinking about that this morning, just for me, on a personal basis, saying, you know, Lord, I think I forgave him, but I don't know. But I do want to. That's my desire, and that's what God wants. Because sometimes the hurt is so severe that it takes a lot for God to get us to the place of healing. As he works in us and through us and helps us to do the things that he desires and wants to do. Because you see, he wants to make you and I whole. He saved our whole spirit, soul, and body. Oh, my God. You might say, this whole flesh, it'll be changed in an instant. That's okay. And we'll put on our spiritual bodies, glorified bodies, when Jesus comes. But God is wanting to save every part of us. He's not wanting us to walk around with a limp spiritually because of whatever. He wants to heal everything and wants us to walk spiritually with Christ, letting him work in our hearts and minds, healed by the Spirit of God. You might say, well, man, God has a lot to do. Well, welcome to the process. If you don't start, you'll never finish. Which is never a finish, because there's always something to work on. Okay? You see? Because Jesus was the only perfect one. But yet, we need to live and we need to let God move within us like we've never seen before. We need to read that word, get with the Spirit of God, let him work in our hearts and lives, let him move in us and through us. Don't hold back from God. Say, Lord, I give you everything. Just as the people gave their outer garments, they gave what naturally the trees, they gave that to him. You might say, well, that's all his. Yes, okay. But still, they gave it to him that day, giving homage and praise and honor to the King of Kings, Palm Sunday. We give honor, praise, and glory unto him because he is the king. He paid the price. He came from the throne room of heaven, which he didn't have to, and gave his life for us. My Lord, give everything, people. Sell yourself out to him. And you'll see he'll make you into something that you never thought was possible. The best thing is he will unlock every cell of the jail in your heart. And open. Every cell of your heart where you've locked away and you said no. He's saying, just let me in. He's so gentle, so kind, so loving that as you open that cell and he unlocks it and he walks in. And you know, that's a place of vulnerability. Huh? You're vulnerable. But let me tell you, it's better to be vulnerable in the hands of God than hard and hurt in the world. Vulnerable to only him because he will protect. Now let me tell you this, one last thing. It is believed that Lazarus lived to a ripe old age, that he was over churches, and they seem to think that he may have even lived in parts of France. You say, well, why are you telling us this? Because you see, the religious leaders sought to violently kill him. But when you're in the hands of God, no one can take your life, people. No one can take you spiritually or physically because God protects. However he wants to do it, stay in the hands of God. Praise him, honor him, love him, and just keep on worshiping him. And just saying, Lord, I'm yours. Lord, I'm yours. And you will see what God can do in you and through you. Today's Palm Sunday. Let's worship the King, my Lord. Amen.